you guys so much for giving today. We do. This is the ministry that we are a part of, reaching the world. And we give 10% of everything that comes in here at Bethel, we sow into this ministry to reach the nations for Jesus Christ. Well, good morning. My name is Lance. If you came in just a little bit late, thank you guys so much for being here with us today. Just a couple of things if this is your first time. First off, we'd love for you to check us out on some of our social media sites. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'd love for you to take your phones out right now, especially on Facebook. You can rate us there. That really helps us continue to reach our great community. So hopefully you're enjoying the service and you have something good to talk to share with our community right there on Facebook. Also, if this is your first time, Pastor Richard and I would love to get to meet you, whether it's your first time, you've been coming for a couple of weeks now, you've never had a chance to meet Pastor Richard and I. We do something simply called First Step. It's in our Global Cafe. Just take a couple of minutes, say hello. We'd love for you to do that after service today. Also, next Sunday, we have a little saying here that your journey begins in Starting Point. If you've never been to Starting Point, we'd love to invite you to that. It's where you find out the vision, the values, really all what God is doing in and through our church. This is really a great first step for you to kind of engage in the life of Bethel. So you can take that connection card, put your name, email, best phone, and drop it off after we leave at our connection point table, and we'll email you, text you this week to give you all the information you need to know to attend Starting Point. Well, guys, we've been in a series entitled Goals that you and I really were talking about running for the prize that Jesus has for us, especially in this new year of 2018. Hopefully you've been enjoying this series. You can always go to our podcast, BethelCommunity.Church, and listen to the past messages. But today we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, and then we're going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. But before we read these verses, I want you to know a little bit about this book before so you can kind of understand really the context of these verses. The book of Hebrews more than likely was written by a man named Paul. Paul hated Christians. Jesus gets a hold of his life and he ends up writing most of the New Testament. We're not for sure that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but as you read how it is written, you read the things that is talked about in this book, more than likely this man Paul wrote this book. And it really was written to believers who are going through a very difficult time, facing persecution, really facing really the tough things of life. Life can be tough, and all of us can say amen to that. But yet, even though we face the brutalities of life, they don't have to take us out. They don't have to destroy us or cause you and I to throw in the towel. That we can actually overcome things that we face and continue to move forward. And so you see throughout this book, this guy encouraging the believers to stay strong, to keep pressing towards the prize. We have in this book, Hebrews chapter 11, that's called the Hall of Faith, of stories of men and women who faced very difficult things, but yet trusted in Jesus and overcame. You have here in Hebrews 12, him talking about the great cloud of witnesses that you and I can look towards, that we might not be entangled by sin. So really, this book is really a book of exhortation. It's an encouraging book. And we're going to see that right here in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. The Bible says this, "Take care, brothers." You could put sisters there. He's talking to you and I today. "Lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day," or encourage one another every day, "as long as it is called today." Why do we do that? "That none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Here he goes. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, that means really into the presence of Jesus is what he's talking about there. "By the new and living way that he, Jesus, opened for us through the curtain," that is through his flesh, meaning because of what Christ went through, you and I now have access to the throne room or to the presence of God. He says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," of course, that is Christ, "let us," we have all these wonderful things then, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he, that's Jesus who promised, is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another. Another verse said, exhort or encourage, stir up, all talking about the same thing. Stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting, here we go, to meet together. There's importance of you and I coming together this morning, as it is the habit of some. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that you would cause great humility to arise, Lord, in each of us today. Lord, that you would communicate through me, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I prayed that prayer, just simply that, God, you would cause great humility. My hope is that would happen today. That God would give you and I the grace, really, that humility would come forth in our life in a greater way this morning. And the reason why is because some of the things I'm going to talk about today, there's going to be natural pushback that arises on the inside of you. But my hope for you is that as I talk about this, what we're going to focus on, my hope is that there will be a desire for you to begin to value what we're going to talk about this morning. Because as we value what we're going to focus on, I promise you, it will bring encouragement, strength, and really Christ-likeness into your life. You know, the thing about this book here in Hebrews and what it talked about today, it talks about really something that you and I have to battle against, and that is sin. Sin is constantly knocking at our door. Sin is constantly wanting to master over you and I. And so you and I have to constantly be focused and be aware that sin is coming against us. Sin is hard because sin is deceitful. It deceives, the Bible says. The Bible talks about it steals, it kills, it destroys. And so sin is always trying to find a way to take you and I, to take us out. And so we always have to have this mindset that I'm battling, I'm pushing back against sin. Now I'm doing so yet knowing who I am in Christ, that I'm a new woman, a new man created in Christ. I'm a new creation, meaning I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. But here's the thing about sin. It doesn't care who I am. It's constantly trying to come against me and to get me not to believe and to trust in what Jesus has done for me. But yet there's something else that we're battling against. And that's what I like to call the self-destruct button. There is an invisible self-destruct button that follows you and I around everywhere that we go. In any moment, it's not really sin that causes us to do this. It's our own wills, our own pride, our own desires that causes us really to hit that button. You know, as I talk about this battle that we are in, one of our community groups that has already launched, we're going to be talking about community groups today and you taking steps to getting engaged in the life of this church. You're going to see the importance of it again this morning. But one of our community groups has already launched. And one of the men in this group actually asked a question in this group. And I think it was a great question. His question was simply this. He said, why in the church are we not more of a band of brothers? Or ladies, it could be the same for you, a band of sisters. Why are we not connected as a band of brothers? That question was posed because the leader actually asked the question to the group, are we our brother's keeper? You guys have heard that phrase before, am I, or that question, am I my brother's keeper? And the leader of this group really asked the question to this group, and that question arose then why are we not more of a band of brothers or sisters in the church? And I think about that phrase, band of brothers. And that phrase is often used by men and women who do things together to try to overcome or win something. That phrase is used usually to describe maybe a sporting team. They have a prize. The prize is the championship, and the field is their battlefield, and they're trying to win that victory, win that prize, win that championship. And so they see themselves because they're in battle together, what? As a band of brothers. Think about trying to help someone walk through an addiction, something that they're addicted by that's overcoming them. And they get sisters or brothers alongside of them. And because they've overcome that addiction, they see what? We've done battle together. Therefore, we're brought together as a band of brothers. Men and women that are downrange, life and death situations, war, facing things like that, see themselves as a band of brothers or a band of sisters. You think about firemen, policemen, they see themselves as this. And so his question is very good, because what he's asking is, why is that not here in the church? We call each other brothers. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. We use terms like that. But yet, why are we not closer when it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think one of the reasons why is because we oftentimes forget a really fundamental truth of the Christian faith. And that's simply this, that as believers, we also are in a battle. We're in a fight. It's a spiritual battle. It's the truth of God against the lies of Satan. It's the light of Jesus against the darkness. It's Satan against God. It's life over death. We're also in a battle. Now, we may not physically fight with our hands or weapons, but yet Jesus has given us some weapons. And we do fight. We fight with our words. We fight in prayer. We battle together with one another. And that battling together, that understanding creates unity. It creates camaraderie. It creates this sense that I am not in this alone. See, the reason why we, whether it's sporting event, downrange, whatever else it may be, call each other a band of brothers is because we understand that I'm not going to make it out of here alone. I can't do this by myself. But yet we come into the church and we oftentimes think, well, it's just me and Jesus. It's me and my relationship with God. It has nothing to do with anyone else. But the Bible says something so much different. The Bible actually talks about that as I follow Christ, I follow him, guess what, with you. You don't see anybody following Jesus alone in this Bible. In fact, the ones who chose to do that was the ones that fouled themselves out of the game. You think about Judas. Judas, having all these thoughts of what he was going to do against Jesus, if he would have saw himself as a band of brothers, he would have went to his brother and said, man, I am facing something. This isn't right. Why am I feeling this way? But he chose to do what? Do his own thing. Go his own way. And it caused him to foul himself. He hit the self-destruct button. He fouled himself out of the game. See, Jesus Christ is our King. But he's our King, but there's other terms used to describe him. Did you know Jesus is also a warrior? We oftentimes forget that because we see Jesus as this nice, lovey guy with the sheep around his shoulder, walking around looking weird. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not carry sheep around his shoulders, on his shoulders. Jesus is a warrior. Jesus is a battler. Jesus is a fighter. Jesus is someone that you want to follow no matter how big and bad you think you are. He's a lot bigger and a lot badder. Because he conquered something that not one person on this planet can conquer, and that is death itself. Jesus rose from the dead. And him being our great King, our great leader, our great warrior, as soon as we say yes to him, guess what else we say yes to? We say yes to being a soldier in his army. And he hands us, as soon as we say yes, he hands us a sword, and that sword is called the Word of God. This is the sword or the living Word of heaven. He hands us also a shield. It's called your faith. You see this in Ephesians chapter 6, that we hold up our shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. See, we oftentimes forget this because when we come to the church, we get confused. Because in the church, we don't oftentimes use language that is used in battle. In the church, we talk about love. How does love and being a soldier go together? We talk about worship. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. How does worship and being a soldier go together? Well, the truth is, my friends, love is an amazing weapon in this war that you and I are in. Worship is an absolute. It is a weapon. So many times we see these wimpy, soft things that we hear about in church as not very relevant, not very strong in our life. You look at King David, who led an army. He was a warrior. He was a king, and he led the army of Israel. And when he went out to battle, you know who he put first? It wasn't the big bad dudes. It was the worshipers he set on the front lines. Because those worshipers were preparing the way for his army to gain victory over the enemy. And it's the same for you and I. But Jesus, being our King, he leads us into battle. I have a photo here for you from a movie. Most of you have seen this movie. It's called 300. Now, mamas, if you haven't seen this movie, I would not let your boys watch this because your husband is going to want him to watch this movie. There is a certain age that your little man needs to be before he watches this movie. I've seen this movie. I love this movie. There's definitely some scenes that you need to fast forward in this movie. But overall, it's a great movie because it is about unity. It's about camaraderie. These are the Spartans. Spartan soldiers, many times in battle, were outnumbered in battle. Their strength was not in their numbers. Their strength was in their unity. As you can see, these men held up these shields. And as you can see, there are not any gaps in these shields that they are holding. Every gap that could possibly be there is covered up by them coming together. Friends, this is a great picture of what you and I should look like as we are following Jesus. I want this picture to get deep down on the inside of you. Because you and I, as Jesus has handed us his shield or our shield, he has called us not just to hold that shield by yourself, but he has called you to lock arms with others, called the local church, this family of believers. We, in a sense, are locking shields together. The thing about those shields is if in that Spartan army there, if one man is taken out, guess what happens? Another steps up. And it's the same right here. There cannot be any gaps because if there are gaps, the enemy has a way in. But yet, when you and I hold our shields together, the enemy has no way to get in. Gossip can't get in. Racism, backbiting, sin in itself can't get in because we're together. Man, we're unified. Something great happens when a church comes together like this. The fact of the matter is, though, is again, we talked about it, sin is deceitful. Sin steals, it kills, and it destroys. And what sin is trying to do to us as we're holding our shields together is to pick you and I off. Because the enemy is looking for gaps in this local church for him to get himself in. And if he can take you out, this is why it's so important that you are taking steps that we talk about here at this church. That you're attending on a Sunday morning. That you're taking even a greater step and you're getting involved in these groups that we're talking about. Because what that does is that causes you and I to lock our shields together in a greater way. Because the truth is, if you hurt, we get hurt. I am in this thing with you. I believe in the corporate destiny of a local church. In every individual destiny, every individual calling that you have on your life, let me tell you something, it is found in the corporate destiny of our shields coming together. It's found right here in this spiritual family that God has called you to walk with. That's why it's so important that you don't get picked off. That the enemy doesn't come in with his deceitfulness, his lies, and take you out. And I have watched it time and time again. Men and women being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is why Hebrews tells us to encourage one another every day. What does that mean? That means that encouraging simply means there, exhort, stir up. So why? So we can stay together. So our shields can stay locked together because we're better together. Every one of us, we're better together. You might not know the man or the woman down the line, but baby, they're locked in with you. See, but what happens though? Why do we get picked off? And this is what I want us to be aware of today. Because sin will try to come and pick us off. How do we stay strong? How do you and I stay locked together, keeping our shields together as we move forward towards the mission? Because Jesus has victory for us. He has already accomplished it for us on the cross. And as we stay together, what we simply do is we bring into the natural what Christ has already done in the supernatural. Jesus has already gone before us and overcame the enemy. And we simply get to walk in that victory that he has for you. Yet, we will face battles. But the good news is we're going to face them together. But how do we not get picked off? How do we not allow gaps in these shields coming together? I'm going to introduce you guys to a term today. Some of you may have heard it, some of you not. And that's the term shepherding. Now, as soon as I say that word shepherding, you're probably thinking in your head like I did as I was preparing this message and I felt the Holy Spirit say this. I was thinking, Jesus, that sounds weird. Like, because many of you are like, man, Pastor Lance, you're preaching good. You're talking about fighting, being a soldier. Man, I like that kind of language. But now, talking about this wimpy word called shepherding. How does being a shepherd or shepherding, how does it correlate with being a soldier in this army of the living God that he's called us to walk with? Jesus, as you look at Scripture, is known. He has many names, and one of those names is that he is our good shepherd. If you remember Psalm 23, what does it say? It says, the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. What does he do? He makes us lie down in green pastures. He restores our soul. He leads me beside the still waters. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod, the good shepherd's rod, the good shepherd's staff is doing what? He's not beating us with it. What is he doing? He's comforting us. See, Jesus is the good shepherd. But my question then is, Jesus, why would you call yourself a good shepherd? Because that word shepherd, we don't really use that word, especially in today's language. We don't use that word very much. You know, you think about shepherd, you think about if he's the shepherd, then what does that mean for you and I? In fact, what it means something very insulting to us. In fact, it's a slap in the face to you and I. If he's a shepherd, then what are we? We're sheep. Now, that's not very encouraging to me. Because many times when I think about sheep, oftentimes you think about something nice, something fluffy, something cozy. You think about something warm, something I just want to lie down next to and just hold. And man, if I could do that, I could just be at rest. But the fact of the matter is, if you really look at sheep, it's not like this image on screen. Sheep are not sweet. Sheep do not smell good. Sheep are not comfortable. Sheep are stinky. They have lice. They carry ticks. In fact, they're pretty disgusting. On top of that, they're stupid. I mean, Jesus, what about calling us a tiger or a lion? I would even settle for a dog or a cat. I mean, anything but a sheep. Because any of those other animals, you can take and drop them off in the wild. They have survival instincts kick in. A sheep, they are not going to survive in the wild. They are in desperate need of a shepherd to defend them. You drop other animals in the wild, maybe a dog or a cat, you know what they might? They will find their way back home. A sheep is too stupid. He's not going to find his way back home. He's going to just wander around till somebody eats him or something eats him. And what's Jesus trying to tell you and I here? Well, he is trying to insult us. He really is. I mean, He's basically telling us is that that's who we are outside of him. That you and I would have never found our way back home, in a sense, back to God. That's why he's called our Savior, had to come rescue us, come and save us as the good shepherd. Jesus, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Therefore, what he's telling us is that we need shepherds in our lives. Now, ultimately, as we can see, Jesus is the ultimate shepherd in our life, as the good shepherd. But there's really two mistakes that we make when it comes to this whole thing called shepherding. And the first one is this, and we all make this mistake, especially when we first come into the kingdom or when sin begins to enter into our hearts once again. Because all of us are acceptable to sin, myself included. Listen, I haven't exempted myself, or because I'm Pastor Lance, I've not exempted by sins, deceitfulness. And I prayed for you again, and I talked about we're asking for humility to arise because pride is a huge thing in all of our lives. And the two mistakes that we oftentimes make when it comes to shepherding is, number one is this, is we think we can be our own shepherd. You cannot be, or I cannot be, you and I cannot be our own shepherd. You will live a disastrous life if you think to yourself that you can shepherd yourself. If you think to yourself that you can see all the blind spots that you have in your life, You are deceiving yourself. You don't even need the devil. You're doing it yourself. None of us has the power or the wisdom or the smarts to be their own shepherd. It's humanly impossible. In fact, the Bible speaks against it. It is called pride. But yet, you and I think we can do this all by ourselves. We love Jesus. Jesus, man, you're good. You're perfect. You'll never hurt me. You'll never say anything to offend me. But keep these God's people away from me. They're weird. Talking about stinky, man. That's stinky, Lord. Your people, oftentimes, they smell. I don't want to see them. They say things I don't like. And so what do? We try to shepherd our own soul. And the truth is, none of us can do this. Men, oftentimes, I'll just be honest, it's really you and I that think that we can shepherd our own hearts and our own soul because of pride. A lot of times when I talk about this, a lot of times the women, you know, especially the wives, will come up and say, Pastor Lance, I love what you said, but my husband, he won't. Listen, I'm tired of hearing that, husbands. I'm tired of hearing my husband won't do this. My husband won't come to church. My husband won't come to a group. Your wife is tired of dragging your sorry tail around. It's time for you to tear down, allow God to tear down your pride, humble yourself, and realize, because here's the thing. You as a man, there's things that we value in our life. Your job, hopefully your family. Even if you're single, you value your future, what God's going to do in your life. And if you value that, then you will realize the need for shepherding in your life. That you cannot do it by yourself. And you will realize that the things that you're handling in your life, your family, your job, your finances, they're too valuable and too important for you to allow your pride to ruin. Again, sin is deceitful. What does he say again? Encourage one another, lest you be what? Hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Oftentimes, that encouragement looks like someone come up to you and say, hey, champ, you're going the wrong direction. You're being a stupid sheep. Stop doing it. We try to shepherd our own soul. And the other mistake we made, and Pastor Richard hit on this last week, it's called over-shepherding. Some of us here carry church hurts with us. Of maybe you were involved in a church or leadership that really they tried to tell you what to do, boss you around. See, how you know if you've ever been over shepherded, I guess that's how you would say that, is the leaders in your life or those you look to, were they pointing to themselves or were they pointing to Jesus? Here at Bethel, we point to Jesus. This is not about you being accountable to me or anyone in this room. This account, listen, I understand the importance of accountability partner. You just better be careful with it. Because ultimately, you're accountable to Christ and to Christ alone in this Bible right here. Now, I'll help you do that, but baby, you're not looking to me for accountability. I'm pushing you to Him because He's your good shepherd, not me. I will fail you. People in this room will fail you. He will not fail you. And so if there has been a church hurt, my encouragement to you today is, yes, that is real. But don't allow a blessing that God has for you. Don't allow yourself to be held back by that, by something from your past. Let's see Christ give you the strength to forgive, and let's move on and begin to walk in this great blessing that He has. Well, who then should be our shepherds? If this shepherding thing is important in my life as a soldier, so my shield stays locked in, with the family, the people that God has called me to walk with, then who are those shepherds supposed to be? Well, we said the first one. The first one is Christ. We got that. But yet, this good shepherd loves us so much. He knows that you need others in your life. So what He does is He places you in a family like Bethel. And He provides what I like to call peers in grace. There are peers, people just like you, sitting around this room that help shepherd your soul. You know, oftentimes they're found on a Sunday morning, on a volunteer team, but a lot of them are found in the community groups that you and I offer. Or I'm sorry, that this church offers. One of the things that I love about these groups is they're led by men and women just like you. They have a job, they have families, things that they want to do, dreams. But they have chosen to lay down their life because they want to see you grow in your relationship with Jesus. They want to see you take greater steps in getting out of whatever pit, whatever you find yourself in. They're encouragers. They're here to stir you up, to exhort you, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But it's your responsibility to make sure that you take a step and say, you know what, I'm going to get into an environment where I can receive that accountability, where I can receive that encouragement, where I can be challenged on a consistent basis. See, we all need people in our lives, and I have humbled, man, hopefully I continue to do it, Lord help me, but I have humbled myself up to this point, Pastor Richard, thank God, to see the blessing of having these peers in grace into my life. Men and women just like me that are walking this life trying to follow Jesus. These guardrails that he's placed in my life, I've opened myself up to them. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever gone to anyone and made this statement to them? Again, I'm going to get some pushback on this, but that's all right. Hey, it's all good. Have you ever went up to someone and said to them, my private life is your business? Woo! Man, that's a great statement. That takes some humility, doesn't it? My private life. That's what I've done to the men in my life. They can ask me anything. They can grab my phone anytime they want. They can look at anything I have. Emails. I don't have a hidden email, all that. They can look at everything. Text messages. Because my private life is their business. There's freedom in that, my friends. There's power in that. There's righteousness and holiness in that. And I have seen so many times men and women hold back from the blessing that God has opened up called the local church. And they refuse to open up their life. Is it tough? Yes. Is it miserable at times? Yes. You think it's easy for Pastor Richard, Pastor Ron, Pastor Travis, or any of my staff to look at me and ask me certain questions? No, it is not. But yet, again, what I'm holding is too valuable. My children, my five babies, they're way too valuable for me to lose because of my own stupid pride. You, as a church, is too valuable for me to lose because I choose to be prideful and go do my own thing. I'm not going to be. At least I'm going to hopefully surround myself not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. My private life is your business. Meaning that I am giving you a hunting license for you to come and search and destroy sin in my life. This is Jesus here. Jesus has provided a church family just like this for that to happen in your life. There are peers in grace, or peers of grace. You step into this environment, you'll find that. Love, support, and encouragement. But you've got to take the step. I wish I could make you do it. Man, I do. But I can't. It's up to you. And the last one is simply this. Jesus as our good shepherd, us together. Jesse, you can come on up. And the last one is, you know, the pastors in this church. The Bible calls us shepherds. And as shepherds, we are called to sound the alarm. It's what I'm doing this morning. Sounding the alarm to you as a soldier in the army of the living God that we don't want you to get picked off. We want your shields locked in with our shields as we move forward into the mission, the victory that Jesus has for us. And so we're shepherds as well. And as a shepherd, what I like about what we do here at this church is this is not just one shepherd, this is multiple shepherds. We have a team approach when it comes to ministry. And the reason why is because you don't need one man making all decisions or one woman. That is not safe. If I made all the decisions around here, you wouldn't be here because it'd be weird, a weird church. It's because I make them in the context of community, the context of men and women that I trust. This is why we have a great spirit here at this church. It's why there's freedom here, and victory. It's because we're walking in the light. And as we walk in the light, guess what? We all get to enjoy the fellowship that he talks about in 1 John that we have with one another. See, friends, this John Wayne, cowboy, Rambo-like mentality has no place in the Christian faith. It just doesn't. My hope for us today, come on up, Pastor Richard, is that you, in a sense, will hear the alarm. And you would humble yourself and say, God, I see my need, yes, for you as my good shepherd, but also for other shepherds. And I'm going to place myself in an environment on a weekly basis, yes, on Sunday morning, but also in one of these community groups that Pastor Richard's about to talk about. I see the guardrails that you're placing in my life to help me grow and not lose everything that I so value and so love. Amen. Pastor Richard here is going to talk about these groups. You know, many of you, we released these groups, Pastor Richard, last week, and you guys did a great job signing up. Many of you guys have already taken this step. You can do this online, BethelCommunity.church. You want to go there, look at those right now. You'll see all of our groups. Pastor Richard's going to take you through those. And there's videos there, Pastor Richard, right, of our leaders just talking about, you know, what their group is going to be about. Let's pray, and then Pastor Richard's going to come and lead us through this. So, Father, right now,